church, very appropriate that we're preaching about prayer on this anniversary Sunday of Go Love Tell, because it's the heart of everything we do in our missions, prayer. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The larger passage is chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. But today we'll only be reading one verse, verse 11. And if you don't have your Bible, take the hymnal, the Bible in the hymnal rack, and turn to page 960. One verse of Scripture. Give us today our daily bread. Let's say that in unison. Give us today our daily bread. When it comes to our prayer needs, often our motive for our prayer request is more important than the words of our prayer request. As a pastor, over the years, I've heard many prayer requests, sometimes expressed in the context of church. Sometimes it's someone who's not in any way related to the church, but they know that I'm a pastor, and they'll come up and I sometimes make a list of the unusual prayer requests. And one day a lady stopped me and she said, would you pray that I will get a larger television? I said, well, why do you need a larger television? She says, well, I live next door to my sister, and we don't speak any longer, and I don't go to Sunday school anymore because the people, I don't like them, and obviously they didn't like her. And she says, it's really my only contact with the real world, so I need a television, larger one. And my thought was, you need to get right with your sister and get right with the Sunday school class, but she didn't ask for my opinion on it. On another occasion, in a Sunday morning Bible study, there was a young lady who asked that the entire class pray for Greg and Angela's marriage and that it might be restored. And sounds like a good prayer request, except Greg and Angela were fictional characters on a soap opera. And Alta Faye can confirm this story for sure. We both know the people involved. And when asked, why would you pray for people on a soap opera? Well, she said, pray that the writer will change the plot, because she just couldn't stand to see that story and them separated. And to her, you wanted to say, you need a life is what you need. Another time, there was a gentleman wrote me a letter, and then he and I talked about it. He prayed that he would receive 100 boxes of chocolate-covered cherries for Christmas. But when you realize that he was a missionary in South America, serving at a very small mission school for impoverished children, and when you knew that he had learned that in order to motivate the children to come to school and to eat their free lunch, if he would have one chocolate-covered cherry per child per day, it was a great motivating factor. And the Bible teaching time in that small school was immediately after lunch, after they had had the chocolate-covered cherry. Now that changes that prayer request. What seems as something that's really not significant, wow, that's important. When you and I think about our prayer request and our needs, when it comes for the material things of life, how do we know what to ask for and what not to ask for? Now, today's sermon is more of a conversation. It's more like we're teaching a Sunday school lesson than presenting a full sermon, because we want to talk about how you pray for the material things in your life. We go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, it begins with the fact that he is preaching, repent, for the kingdom from heaven, or the kingdom from God, is near. God is fully present in Jesus Christ. God is high and holy and transcendent, but in Christ, God is also immanent, near. And as a result, knowing that God is not just high and holy, but because he's right here with you, can change how you pray. And so he says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, or which is our Father from heaven, who just designated different than our earthly Father, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Now, give us today our daily bread is where he's talking about the basic needs of life. And to understand what this sentence means, there are two words that you have to look at and fully understand. One is the word bread. Bread was the common denominator of all meals. Morning, noon, and night, it was not considered a meal if you did not have bread. It was assumed that that was a core portion of your meal. And not only that, by that time, occasionally you would say the word bread instead of meal. We Southerners know that. Someone will say, hey, let's break some bread together. What does that mean? Let's have a meal together. And so when he was saying, you know, to our daily bread, he was talking about the basic need of life. But he was also, there's a spiritual dimension to that. Because on one occasion, Jesus tells us, you know, that he is the bread of life. And when he tells us that story about being the bread of life, he is reminding us that the bread of life is that which feeds our soul and nourishes us. It's a necessity for us as well. But the second word, the first word we need to understand is bread. The second word is daily. The word that is used here is an unusual word. It's literally a word that means a homemaker's list for daily shopping. In that century, there was no refrigeration, of course, but most homes had no room for food storage. And as a result, the homemaker would go out each morning and go down to the community market and get the items for that day. And that's the word that's translated daily here. Give us today our daily bread, all that we need for today. Now, we know that. But why would there be such a unique word as a place of emphasis there to limit it praying just for today? It is because although we know that, most of us pray for future things far in advance. Most of us pray out of our worries rather than out of our needs. Take a young family, for example. You know, what happens when you have the first child and then there's the second and there's the third? You know, you're praying in advance, you know, Lord, help us have the money to put braces on those children's teeth. And you pray that before the youngest one even has teeth. And then we pray, you know, Lord, they're going to be teenagers. They're going to be so expensive. There's going to be dance. There's going to be sports. There's going to be, you know, proms to go to. And we're going to, how are we going to be able to afford all that? And you start praying about middle school for their senior year in high school. And then you pray, you know, and help us have money when they go to college. And you're praying out there in the future. And then help us have money for when they get married. And then, Father, help us have enough so when we retire. And we're always years in advance praying out in advance rather than for the daily things in our life. Now, we're going to do that. It's not condemned. It's not wrong. But when you pray for material needs, begin with the immediate. And why would Jesus focus on the immediate? Well, you have to remember that when Jesus is teaching about prayer, it's in context of everything else he teaches. And there is a story that's in Luke chapter 12. There was an occasion where a man came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, my brother is not sharing the family estate with me as he should. Would you help me get my side of the money?" Now, we won't go into all the details, but it's an intriguing story in Luke chapter 12. And Jesus, instead of saying, let me find your brother and we'll get him straightened out, he talks to him and he warns him about the danger of greed and the danger of putting your trust in things. And so he tells the man a parable, a story. And he said, there was a farmer who had a tremendous year. His crops produced abundantly. On the day of harvest, they couldn't fit them into all the barns because there was just too much harvest. And so they had to build additional barns and they had to tear the old ones down. And when you hear that parable, tearing the old ones down, don't think of the big barns we have on a farm here in the South. They were rather small barns and they were easy to tear down and easy to build and to build a larger one. He tore down all of the little barns and he put bigger barns. And then at the end of the day, when he had all of the barns filled, he said, "I can take life easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." He felt very secure. And then that night, God said to him, "And you will die before the night is over." And Jesus said, and this is a paraphrase of it, "Who's going to get the stuff? Where does it go?" He was teaching about the danger of putting our security in things. Now, hear me how I say this. Our security is not in the blessings that God gives us. Our security is in the presence of God. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. It's not just about what God gives us. It's His being with us. And when you and I get so focused on saying, you know, "God, this is the things I need 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now," we start to assume if God gives us all that stuff, then we have all we need. No, when we have Christ, that indwelling, interactive relationship with Christ, then we know we have what we need. That's what keeps you from worrying when there's unemployment in the family. That's what keeps you from worrying when somebody's ill. That's what, you know, that's why you and I, living in such a troubled, disheveled world right now, don't panic. Why? Because we know God's with us. The very presence of God with us. But we pray for the immediate. Give us today our daily bread. Now, how do you unpack that, though? How do you pray for your normal needs, your daily needs? Well, as I mentioned to you at the start of this series, we're going to have some practical application at the end of every one of these. And allow me to give you the ABCs of praying for your daily needs. And they'll be on the screen. And if you need a copy of them this week, just call our office and we'll make sure you get a copy. First, ask God to make you aware of your needs. Because often we come to God and we tell Him, "This is what we need." And if we're honest, we don't need that at all. God speaks to us towards our needs. A father who lives in another state about a year ago told me that he realized he'd grown up in poverty and he'd wanted to make sure that his children never had poverty. And he worked hard and he says, in their early years, he said, of our being a family, he said, "I was gone because I was working." He said, "I worked and worked and worked." He said, "because I wanted to provide what my children needed." But he says, what my children needed was a relationship with their father. What my children needed was lessons on a character rather than lessons to do ever whatever it was they wanted to do. And he says, and what my children needed was time learning about God and not just being able to go every place they want. You see, when we ask God to help us know our needs, all of us, we have a fallen human nature. And we will, you know, when you start your prayer list and I start my prayer list and I'm talking with you and not to you today. When I start out my prayer list, generally it's pretty selfish. It's things that I want. It's not bad things at all, but it's things that I think that I need. And when I start peeling away, I realize I don't need it all. But I won't see that with my own eyes. That's where we have to ask God to help us see what we actually need. Second, be aware of the presence of God. And you've heard this several times during this series, but it's the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount and understanding about prayer too. Because God is present with us. And when you and I are praying to God, it's, yes, God is high and holy. He is transcendent, but God is here. And when you recognize that when God is near, it will change what you pray for. Because you're saying, God, bless me with this, bless me with this, bless me with this. And what happens if God doesn't bless you with that? Then you feel disappointed. And so you pray with more urgency tomorrow. But while you're praying for that, you realize God's present with you. Through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit that we're celebrating today on day of Pentecost Sunday, God is actually present with you in the form and the person of the Holy Spirit. And just if you didn't get what you asked God to bless you with, so what? You've got something greater. His presence with you at the time. And third, confess that what God will provide for your needs. The word confess is frequently associated with sin. And we do confess our sin. But confess literally means to agree with. That's what a confession of sin is. It is when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Confession is to say, you're right, I am a sinner. But it literally means we confess anything. We confess truth. By that, we agree with truth. And confession of that God will provide, it's as you're praying daily for your needs, confess and agree with God, you will provide my needs. You have promised. You have never failed me yet. You're a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does meet our needs, not our wishes, because He understands our needs. Our wishes can be counterproductive, and God answers the prayer in the context of all of eternity. The ABCs of prayer. Now, we've talked about prayer in this lesson today. Now, let's do it. Would you stand, please? And let's pray.